Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, guys, and welcome to episode 3 of my podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am very excited today because the guest is not only a very, very dear friend of mine, but she is just a rock star person in general. She's an incredible mother. She's a social media strategist and web designer. She has her own blog called Jewish Penicillin, which is exactly what you probably think it is. It's amazing. Her name is Laura Max Rose, and we are going to talk about a lot having to do with motherhood and what Laura experienced and went through when she was getting pregnant, and now she has her daughter Selma, who is almost 2 years old.
She's 16 months.
One and a half almost. Yeah. And she's just killing it at the motherhood game. She makes it look very easy, the work-life balance, but I know it's not as easy as it looks. But I'm just so excited to introduce you to her and to talk to her about, we're going to get really like raw and deep here, right?
Welcome, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Julie, for being here. Thank you. Before we dive into the main topics, can you just give a little background? What's your story?
So I am a mother of a 16-month-old, and I've been in Houston for the past, I think, 7 years after having partially grown up here. I went to college in Boston, came home, got a job, thought I'd stick around for a year, and I ended up meeting my husband, whom I married just about a year and a half later and had a baby with 9 months after that. Got pregnant with 9 months after that. And it's just been all uphill since I came back and met Ben, with the exception of a few bumps in the road that come with parenthood, which I'm sure we'll get into. But the funny thing is, you know, when I met, I'm here talking about motherhood, and before this show started, you asked me if I always knew I wanted to have children. And when I went on my first date with Ben, I was pretty crazy about him right from the get-go, and he told me immediately that he wanted to have lots and lots of children, to which I responded, well, I'm having a really lovely time with you, but I don't plan on having any children, so maybe that's something that we should talk about.
And this was on the first date?
It was on the first date. We got it all
way to get
there.
Into it, Ben, right away.
We got into it right away. There was some Chardonnay involved. But,
of course, as always.
But we got right to it, and he said, oh, that's crazy. I know you want to have children. And I said, no, seriously, though, you know, I was an only child. My mom had me when she was 41 years old. I was not planned. And my mom never had any intention of having kids. I wasn't surrounded by little children when I was growing up. And it wasn't that I never wanted to be a mother. It was that I never even really thought of it as an option. I can't even explain it. It wasn't.
So at what point did you decide, okay, I want to do that. Like, I want to have a baby.
I had been dating Ben for about a month. And all of a sudden, I felt very strongly about him. And I was like, you know what? This must be what happens when people like someone, because I want to have babies, and I want to have them soon.
I really knew
that, like, once we got married, I was going to want to have babies. And so we have one so far.
And she is adorable.
She's pretty amazing.
She's amazing. Okay, so you're pregnant, you're very close to giving birth, the 9 months is almost up. How are you feeling? Like, were you excited and ready?
I never felt so good in my entire life.
Wow.
It was so funny because I was gigantic. I gained 50 pounds when I was pregnant, and I never felt so beautiful. I felt like such a proud woman that I was carrying a child, and my ankles were really swollen, but I just felt like I was glowing. I was so thrilled about becoming a mother, and
so So it's like something changed, like not overnight. Of course, you had 9 months to be pregnant, but you went from not knowing if you would ever have kids, ever even thinking about it, to this like excitement, and it just kind of happened over time.
Yeah, and it was very funny because something was never right for me. I always talked a lot about my professional ambitions, but my actions were so different. Like I talked about wanting to be the next Oprah. You know, I wanted to have a talk show so badly. So I said, which I still, you know, one day if I'm Oprah, wonderful.
Yes.
But what I wanted and the way that I was arranging my life was so that I could have a family. And for whatever reason, I was just very afraid to admit that to myself and the world that was something that I wanted so badly, because right. I felt like I was supposed to have this really big career and I was supposed to want different things than what I wanted. And I remember I even took a client out to lunch and I had just gotten married and she said, oh, please God, don't tell me you and Ben are going to have babies anytime soon.
Which, oh my God.
Looking back is a totally inappropriate thing to say. But I was surrounded by some people who felt that way. Like
wow.
Really thought that I was a little bit nuts.
Interesting.
Because I had always been very professionally focused. And
right. And now you're doing both. And
now
you're doing both exceedingly well.
I'm working on doing both. Thank you.
Of course. Okay. Well, so how... Okay. Of course you know, but I don't know if everyone listening knows. I don't have kids and I'm not sure if and or when I want them. When Selma came out, not to get all TMI here, but how did you feel? Did you feel immediately connected to her and like this is what you were put on this earth to do, or did it take time?
I have never felt more terrified in my entire life. I
really
went from thinking that I was literally put on this earth to bring up my daughter. I would write her, when I was pregnant, I would write her letters and sit in the rocking chair that we bought for her nursery and write her letters.
Oh my gosh.
To her future self about what it felt like to be pregnant with her and all the things that I wanted for her. And she was born and I just didn't even know where the sky was and where the floor was.
Like you were completely...
I was just blindsided.
Right.
And I don't... You know, I've spoken to other women and some have told me that they feel that way. No one is quite as willing maybe to get as into how terrified they were as me. So I don't know if I was just the most terrified or if no one else is talking about it, but I didn't feel like I could catch my breath. I had a 30-hour labor and followed by a C-section. I was recovering from this major surgery and in so much pain and trying to breastfeed my new baby
right.
and just felt absolutely gigantic. I couldn't catch up on sleep, which as all new moms know, it's very difficult to mm-hmm, get rest. Sleeping when the baby sleeps doesn't really happen. I was extremely, extremely emotional. And I just, I didn't know if, I thought I was always going to feel that way. And I have spoken to so many new moms who talk about that feeling of, oh my God, I just entered this new world and I'm never not going to feel this emotional.
And you didn't think there was an end.
I didn't think there was an end. I was like, oh my God, I just crossed the threshold into this new vortex, this new world where I'm always going to feel this emotional. And I remember coming home from the hospital and sitting on my couch and just sobbing and saying to my husband, I feel like my heart is outside of my body and I need some reprieve. Like this is too much for me. I feel like my heart now exists outside of my body in my child.
Oh my
God. And I was just so vulnerable and I had no, there was no relief. I couldn't think of no relief and I didn't think I was ever not going to feel that intense.
So at what point, I guess for how long did this feeling go on?
The intensity of that emotional intensity lasted for about 2 weeks, which is very normal.
Okay.
So 2 weeks you have the baby blues, the post-baby blues as they say.
So this is a thing. I mean,
it's a real thing.
Okay.
And, you know, as women, our hormones drop after we have a baby and I was feeling very emotional and crying a lot. Everyone said, you know, the first 2 weeks are the hardest. 6 weeks is another milestone. It gets much easier after 6 weeks. That was definitely true for me.
Okay.
After 3 months, there's another turning point, gets a little bit easier. Yeah. 6 months is like an even bigger one. And after a year, you know, you're supposed to feel great again.
Yeah.
And something I was following in all those milestones really perfectly up until about 6 months, something changed. And at 6 months, my daughter was in a daycare program and I would always, you know, see other moms and talk to them about, you know, what was going on with our kids. And I noticed some moms would say to me like, oh God, you've just hit 6 months. Lucky you. Like it's gotten so much easier, hasn't it? Or you must be so much happier, or you're finally free. You've finally gotten
right.
through the shit. And I was feeling like so much worse all of a sudden. And that
worse than you were at those beginning couple weeks?
Not as bad as those beginning couple of weeks were almost blinding. Like I couldn't function.
Wow.
But this was just a real darkness had come over me. And it was sort of hallmarked by this constant nagging feeling that I was not a good mother, which looking back is kind of funny because I dedicated everything I had to my child. Well, thank you.
But I can't imagine that feeling.
I felt very strongly that everyone was looking at me and thinking that there was something wrong with me, that I didn't know what I was doing. I felt, someone told me before I had Selma that having a child would be the thing that finally made me feel like an adult.
Right.
And it was so funny because when she was born, I'd never felt like more of a child.
Oh my God.
Like I felt so unqualified. I felt so young.
Right.
And I didn't know that those feelings were actually feelings that are associated with postpartum depression. I just thought I was having a hard time and
right.
I should be able to move through it. And I just needed to work a little bit harder and get past whatever I was going through.
But it was postpartum depression.
It was. That was what I discovered at about 8 or 9 months. My husband, thank God, just said, you know, I didn't think that there was anything wrong because I had really gotten used to feeling that way.
Right.
And he was the one who insisted that maybe I could be happier, that I didn't have to feel the way that I was feeling all the time. And I thought, you know, I'm a new mom. This is how I'm supposed to feel. But he was really encouraging me to listen to that nagging feeling I had that something wasn't right. And I would Google postpartum depression all the time. And the first thing I would come up with is that postpartum depression means feeling a lack of not having a bond with your child.
Okay.
And thank God I didn't experience that. I know a lot of women do. But I felt very, very close to my daughter. I loved her so much.
Mm-hmm.
I got up when she cried. I was very, very attached to her. So I would always see that number one item on the checklist of whether or not you have postpartum depression. And I would just say, okay, that's not what's going on here. I'm just, you know, there's something else wrong.
So you didn't think it was an option? You didn't
think
that was
and
something.
I really wish that wasn't the case. Like, I wish that it had been easier for me to determine that I was suffering from postpartum depression.
Right.
So I ended up seeing a therapist who, this just incredible woman who, I sat down in her chair and it took her all 5 seconds to say, sweetheart, like, you literally sound like you're reading from the book of what postpartum depression is.
And she knew right away.
Oh yeah. I was so relieved because I was like, really? I keep thinking that I'm like, I don't fit that description
right.
at all. And that's why, I've been so upset is because I don't know where I fit. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just want to feel good again.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to feel this way forever.
So did going to therapy help you? Did you continue to go or what?
I did.
Was your...
It really helped me. I have really, over the course of my short life so far, really done the work, as they say. I've been in therapy for many years, and I have done other things to really take care of myself emotionally. So I was, when I arrived there, I was really open to the idea of taking medication mm-hmm. because I felt like I've worked really hard, and it was almost like working any harder was not being kind to myself.
Right.
Because I needed help. Like
yeah.
there was something there.
And you recognize that.
And I recognized that. So I ended up taking medication, and I felt like, I can't even tell you, a lifetime of difference after just 1 week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I
like
really,
beyond,
I can't
like completely
even tell you. It was like
a 180.
I came to life, like a
wow.
complete 180.
And Ben noticed the difference. I mean,
absolutely.
It was,
absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah. And the people in my life who, I had some friends who I spent a lot of time with express concern, like just that they thought I didn't sparkle as much as I had
right,
been.
Right, right.
And they noticed, like, hey, you seem like you
Well, I remember, like I told you the other day, I remember a lunch, I believe, where we were getting happy hour, and I knew something was off, and you said that was one of your worst days.
Yeah, it
and
was
it
one
was,
of, yeah,
yeah,
you could feel it.
Because you're this, like, bubbly ball of energy, and you, we have very deep conversations when we're together, and I knew something wasn't, and then there you go. And I mean, so that's amazing that therapy helped. You are all about medicine. I mean, a lot of people are very against medicine, against therapy, which is crazy to me. I've been going to therapy for 10 years, I mean, over 10
right.
years, but some people are very, it's a very taboo topic, and
yeah.
but you're clearly for it.
And I feel, you know, yeah, I feel extremely concerned about people who strongly advocate, like, Eastern or Western medicine,
mm-hmm.
like that one is totally right or the other's totally right. There's a middle ground, and everyone has to do what's right for them.
I agree.
And
yeah.
I just think we need to give, as women, we need to give each other permission to do what we need to do to make ourselves feel good again.
Exactly.
And I feel like I can be with my daughter now and have the best time with her and be aware that, like, I'm taking really good care of her.
Exactly.
And that's, like, the most
incredible
thing,
I'm sure.
The most invaluable feeling
yeah.
that I can be with her, that I could put in a day of... a day of playing and going to the park and baking and whatever it is that we end up doing together, and I can have the acknowledgement, yes, like, you know what, you did a good job today, mm-hmm, and I can take the day off and spend it with my husband while my mom watches Selma and say, you know what, I'm also doing something
exactly
great for my daughter because I'm taking time to be with my husband.
Exactly.
And before, my sense of my guilt was just crippling me. Like, I couldn't
even imagine
either. Yeah.
So I only thought that, because obviously, I mean, I just didn't know, I thought postpartum depression would come like right after you had the baby, but you're saying this was eight months
and
later?
For some people it does. I became aware of mine in about 8 months. I would say I started to I experienced it right from the beginning.
Wow.
Because there was always sort of this layer of it, but where it started to really become apparent was right at 6 months, where my experience of new motherhood started to divert from where other people's experiences were.
Interesting.
That 6 month turning point we're supposed to have where we feel better, I wasn't
yeah, the case with you. Well, yeah, what I love about Lauren, what I tell her all the time is because she is so real, again, why we are probably very, very close. She, like, again, because I'll talk to her about, you know, I just don't know if kids are for me. I'm not sure. And she's always like, be sure, because the first 3 months are fucking hell. Like, literally, Laura says this. And I'm like, you are the only mother that has ever been honest about that. Like, thank you for not sugarcoating this.
Well, I had never been more sure of anything in my life. Truly. I wanted to have kids. And when my daughter was born, I was very young. I was 27 when she was born. And the feelings this feeling that I had that I was never going to feel normal again was so scary and terrifying that I feel like in order to experience that feeling, it's much easier if you're at least mostly sure that you want
right,
to have
right,
kids.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
I think we all people have children if they're meant to, like, don't, you know, but at the same time, it's much easier if you really know that you want to have children,
right,
because I really knew. I can tell you today that, like, oh my God, Selma is the most incredible thing that's ever.
I mean, the best thing
in it's amazing
ever.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But those you sacrifice in ways you never knew you were going to have to sacrifice in those first 3 months. And even if you have a ton of help or none at all, like, there isn't a woman in the world who's going to tell you that those first 3 months aren't hard. I will say that having help is much easier than not, and that I didn't have enough. So next time around, we're going to go a little crazier with
so
that.
So now that you are you're well beyond that hump of that uncertainty and this scary feeling, and you're in such a good place now with her and everything, how is it? How's motherhood?
It's awesome.
It's the best.
Yeah,
I
can't even say how amazing it is.
Really. And do you feel, again, I'm not a mother, but I'm on social media, so I'm scrolling through Instagram and everything. Do you feel, because social media and Instagram in general is, I mean, you can play the comparison game all day, every day.
Long, yeah.
Do you feel that even more so being a mother, are you finding yourself comparing, like, oh, her daughter was walking. Oh, and mine wasn't walking yet.
Yeah.
And
it's a huge problem.
Really?
I find that, like, with the, yes, because we didn't used to know when our friends' kids were finally sitting mm-hmm. up and walking. Or eating solids, and now we know everything.
Right. Because it's all documented.
It's all documented.
Right.
The capacity to compare yourselves. I'm lucky that I have a really amazing pediatrician who encouraged me from day one just to let my daughter be my daughter, to grow as she would grow. And I also think about how unfair it is to her to compare her in that way. For
right.
me to look at somebody else's child and say, oh, well, she's doing this. Like, what about my daughter? But it's so much better for her to just let her grow at her own pace.
Right.
And I've had to take actions to protect myself in that way. So there are certain people, you know, I won't follow them on Instagram.
Really?
You know, I think it's a little dangerous how some women make out motherhood to be literally
that's
the complete opposite
right.
of what it,
what it
is.
Like, well, because you see those pictures the first 3 months and it's like, oh my God, it is just easy, like easy breezy. Anyone could do it.
Right.
But it's actually a lot harder than you see on social media.
And we only post about the wonderful moments.
Of course. Of course.
We really do. And we end up comparing our, what is that? We compare our demo reel to other people's highlight reel.
Yeah. I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Yeah. So it's just, it can really wreak havoc, I think, on your mental health. And
so it's best to avoid it.
I would say avoiding it as much as possible if you're particularly sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
You know, Brene Brown posted something the other day that said, "Don't compare yourself. I shall not compare myself to strangers on the internet."
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I was comparing myself to were people I didn't know.
Strangers on the internet. You don't know what's going behind closed doors.
Exactly.
You don't know anything beyond what you see on Instagram or
Facebook.
You know. And what about in person? So now, aside from social media, you know, imagine maybe you're in a play group or two, or you go to music class or gymboree or whatever it is. Do you find yourself that these other mothers that you are around in person, that you feel that compare, that you're kind of playing that comparison game, or how is it in person with other mothers?
I think that among mothers, depending on the mothers that you're around, there can be a high level of competitive energy, really among the mothers, obviously not among the children.
Of course, right, right.
And that just being really, I'm very sensitive to that. And as a result, I've really chosen to surround myself with women who are encouraging, mm-hmm. women who, we don't compare our children, we can laugh together, mm-hmm. we can talk about how difficult it is sometimes, right. how great it is other times.
You keep it real. I mean, you're being honest about it.
I mean, I think it's really important not to waste your time in motherhood on anything that doesn't make you feel good about mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have a reason why. If being around a particular person makes you feel like you're not doing something well enough or good enough, you don't need to be around that
There's
person.
There's no reason. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just take exquisite care of yourself, mm-hmm. because you are your biggest asset. You are the person that is going to, you are going to be a better mother for making sure that you are happy. And whatever you need to do to take care of yourself, you have to give yourself permission.
And if that means not hanging out with a certain person or being in a certain play group or going to a certain gym, you know, gymboree class, then don't.
I mean, seriously, there are so many other things to do. And I think new motherhood, that first year especially, is a really sensitive, delicate time. It's really easy to feel like you're not doing enough or not doing it right. And if you're prone to that, you don't have to make any excuses.
Right.
Just take care of yourself and do whatever you have to do.
I love that advice. And then what about, I think you handle, I'm sure you're going to say, well, I don't know, but I think you handle your work-life balance and your motherhood hat, and then your being a wife hat and friends. I feel like you really balance it all so well. I feel like you spend, I mean, your daughter's your number one, of course, always and always, but you also hang out with people that don't have babies. You hang out with people that you go out with Ben on date nights, and you do things with him without Selma. And I think, so how do you balance that?
Date night is really important. Whatever you can swing, however often you can make time to be with just your spouse, I think it's really important to make that time. Ben and I have, we have date night every Saturday, like sort of
standing,
like it's just standing. Mm-hmm. So like what we realized was we would end up having plans like every other Saturday. We try to get a nanny at the last minute, wouldn't be able to. So we found someone to watch Selma on Saturday nights that we really love and really trust. And she comes on Saturday at 6 and we have date night. I actually got that idea from a friend of mine.
I love that. So it doesn't matter what you do. It could be a casual quick dinner or a movie.
But it's time for just the two of us, and it's part of our schedule. And I would also say that we established a bedtime for Selma as soon as we could. I mean, by the time she was 3 months old, she went to bed at 7. And from 7 to 10, mom and dad are up and hanging out with each other. Wow. And that really instills a sense of normalcy, because you go back to these routines of seeing each other really frequently. And making that time for each other and for yourselves is just paramount to happiness.
Amazing.
I think that that's super important. I will say that while I have... you know, I run my own business. And I take care of Selma when I'm not doing that. My career right now, I'm sure if I didn't have a child and I wasn't married, I would probably be doing a million more things around my career. But right. I've come to understand that I'm lucky to have my husband and my daughter pulling my arm and mm-hmm. have them to be with and to be around and to call them my family.
Right.
And there will be time for my work later.
Of course.
And that what there's not time for is these moments with them where, you know, my daughter wakes up the next day and she looks like a completely different person.
Right.
Like she grows overnight.
Yeah.
So, of course, sometimes it's painful to let go around my career, that it's not everything I always imagined it would be right now, but that everything comes in its own time, and we really need to be easier on ourselves as mothers, that we can't really do it all at once.
Right.
We can just do the best we can, and we need to do whatever is calling our name at the moment.
Exactly. And how soon after you had Selma did you get back into your work groove? Did you take a maternity leave?
I took maternity leave for 3 months. I started working again after 3 months, but I got back into my work groove, I would say, about 4 months ago.
Okay. So it took time.
Yeah, it took time for me to not like really resent having to get my work done.
Got it. Honest. So at what point did she go to daycare, though?
She went to daycare starting at 3 months old, which I will say, I told people that I was doing that, and I just got looks of horror. And
I'm sure.
What are you doing?
But best decision, right?
Best decision I ever made. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was hard. Was it hard at first?
It was at the time, I have to tell you, Julie, I was just so grateful that I had a place that would take care of her, because mm-hmm. I had to work.
Right.
And I know how hard it is to get into daycare or to find a good nanny. And I was just like, I'm so glad that I know that she's safe.
Right.
And she's somewhere where she's being taken care
of. And she's probably very happy.
And I was just so glad she was happy.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of women who really feel guilty or sad at that turning point when they get off of their maternity leave. But I think eventually we kind of all come to the same conclusion that we're really lucky to have for our kids to be taken care of.
Of course, of course. So speaking of your work and, you know, being on that maternity leave and going back and the past only 4 months, you said you're back in the groove. Tell a little bit about what you do for work as a social media consultant, strategist, and a web designer.
So yeah, for about a year now, I've had my own web design and online marketing company. So I work with several clients to develop social media strategy. I have several website clients. I do some brand consulting as well. And I've really been doing this for about 6 years, but I just started really doing it on my own.
Right.
And I love it. It's a really amazing way for me to connect with people, to stay current on everything that's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. I have so many different kinds of clients, and I think it's good for me to have something that I'm passionate about that I can work on and get my hands dirty with.
Right, right, exactly. And then you also have Jewish Penicillin.
Jewish Penicillin is my blog,
which is the best name ever.
Thank you.
Tell them what it's about.
Jewish Penicillin, the tagline is soul food from a Gen Y Jewish mother. So I
love it.
Actually came up with it before I got pregnant.
I remember we were at, I think, Salento, which is a place in Houston, having wine, as we do, although you were probably pregnant at the time, so you weren't having wine. And we were talking about it, and you're like, but do you think that's a good name? Like, I'm like, this is genius.
Thank you. So I just talk about, you know, what it's like, not only just as a mother, but as a human being, going through the ins and outs of life and trying to not manage it all, because I'm not going to lie to anyone and tell you that I actually manage it all, but
you make it look good.
Being okay with that and really being truthful about, you know, what we're all experiencing every day.
Right. And I can attest, it's not all about motherhood. I read it and I don't have a child. And I, even when it is about Selma, like Laura is very powerful in her writing. I'm not just saying that because she's sitting 2 feet from me. She's an incredible writer and storyteller. So definitely JewishPenicillin.com. Definitely check her out on there. And her Instagram, which is also very inspiring because you put a lot of your words on there too. I mean, it's at Laura Max Rose. So definitely follow her. Laura, this was so amazing.
This was so much fun.
Thank you for opening up and being so honest. I have a feeling it's going to resonate with a lot of new mothers and mothers to be.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Julie. You're awesome.
You're awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, you can follow Laura at Laura Max Rose, and you can always follow me at Julie Lauren 14. And thank you so, so much for listening. And I will speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time. Only at Whole Foods Market.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save.